Ah, the dulcet tones of our friend Chris Cross, Sailing Takes Me Away, and we will now be taken away by our friend Karen Lyle from SailSportTalk.com, who co-hosts this segment with me Tuesdays at 9:40 Pacific time as we get out on the water. Karen, first I have to ask, are you still in jolly old England?
It's now around 5:30 in London. Yes, I am still in jolly old England.
Very
but,
nice.
You know, mm-hmm. we have dulcet tones of Chris Cross and jolly old England, but I have to tell you, there's not jolly old news for the America's Cup.
Yes, following the closure of the entry period for the 38th America's Cup on Halloween, there has been very little to clarify the situation, because the two announced entries to date are the defender, which is the Emirates Team New Zealand, and the challenger of record, which is Britain's Athena Racing. So where's America? Where are the Swiss? Where are the Italians, the French, the Danes? What's going on?
Well, basically, the New York Yacht Club just pulled out of the race just this week, so that was the newest news. And I remember, so I was in Barcelona, you know, for the last America's Cup. We had the Louis Vuitton Cup, the 37th America's Cup in Barcelona. And, you know, we just got off the water. You had Sir Ben Ainslie and Peter Dahl, you know, all of the Jimmy Spittle, Grant Dalton, all of these people just, you know, full of adrenaline, just coming off the water after this race. And everybody was so forward talking. Yeah, we're going to do it again. Everything's going to go great. You know, we've got this all worked out. And now, you know, one thing after another. So basically, the first thing that went awry was Sir Ben Ainslie had been leading the Britannia team basically since 1964. And Ineos, who was the sponsor of that team, the Ineos sponsor team, basically fired him. It was a little bit acrimonious between the two, and that's kind of when things started to fall a little bit, you know, because that was going to be, I remember Ben saying that he was going to be the challenger, because, in that final race in America's Cup in Barcelona, it was New Zealand and the Ineos Britannia had won the Louis Vuitton, which is the one that chooses whoever is going to challenge the defender. I mean, not just the challenging, but the one who actually goes to the race, right, and does that. And so they had this camaraderie. They were all for it. And then, you know, I'm seeing all these emails that I'm getting as a media person, you know, from the team saying, I don't like this, and no, that's not working out, and stuff like that. So it's a complicated thing putting together an America's Cup. I mean, this started with a deed of trust in October 24th, 1887, which is when the trophy basically, got assigned with all of the initial rules for how this would happen. And you have to have the deed of trust, you've got to have the trophy, you have to have a yacht club from any nation who is challenging the defender. You have to have a team that is going to represent that yacht club, and the team is a separate corporation that usually they're putting up $75 to $100 million to make that team happening. And so you've got the basic requirement for holding an America's Cup is a defense for a lot of other people coming into the race. And so we've had three teams drop out. And so I'm crossing my fingers for the America's Cup, because this has been going a long time. And I would hate to see, I mean, they're going to do the race because they've got the challenger and defender, but, you know, it's a little bit of tension there.
Well, I know that the Kiwis are bulking up. I saw that their AC40 down in Auckland, they've signed up a bunch of, you know, big heavy hitters and ringers for their crew. And then Ben Ainslie with the Athena, he said that the AC75 hull was just sitting in a shed in Barcelona. So, a lot of times in sports over the years, I have seen things where I thought, It's ruined. Like the 94 World Cup wasn't going to have England. They weren't going to have Denmark. They were going to have Bulgaria and Romania. And turns out Bulgaria and Romania were two of the most exciting teams in the entire World Cup. So can this still be pulled off to make it an amazing America's Cup? Or do you think it's just stained now and the interest will be rock bottom?
I really do believe that part of the tradition of the America's Cup is the drama before the America's Cup races. I don't think there has ever been an America's Cup race where there has not been some drama. And this trophy is so appreciated and sought after by, you know, by different nations and countries, that even if we've only got two right now, I mean, we've got time to go. Those two teams, I mean, that's, you know, they're 200 million each, right? You know, preparing for this race and getting ready to have it in Napoli or Naples. And so it's going to happen. It's just that there is some significant drama. And I think part of the thing that's kind of unique about this race, because, you know, I think when you have, like, leagues and things, tell me when you're doing, like say, football or something like that. You have a league, and then the different teams basically compete, but the league is the one running the continuity of that. How does that work? I want to see, kind of compare, because that's your specialty, Rick.
Well, yeah, no team is a sovereign state in any of these leagues. They all have to answer to the commissioners of their leagues and the rules, which, you know, it's almost like the states in America have to answer to the federal government.
I see. So it's a top-down administration. So in the America's Cup, it's not like that. It's basically like whoever won the last race is the one who gets to set the rules with the person who they accept as a challenger. And then they set up and write up the rules. And those rules include where it's going to be, and they include what the design, what the box set is. In other words, what box the boat has to be designed in. It has to be within the original deed of trust and what's said there. But there's obviously, the boats have just changed dramatically over the years, and the design keeps being moved forward. And I think part of the thing about the America's Cup is it's not just about the skill of the racers and match racing. It's about the skill of the designers as much as anything, because usually the design for the America's Cup, the competition between the designers and so forth to get a faster boat within that box set of rules is something that is really going to push forward the design that then follows and flows into other types of things related to it. I mean, just before I came online, one of my friends from the aerospace corporation, which is, you know, to do with things space, has a friend who basically was taking the Artemis technology. You remember when we had the America's Cup in San Francisco in 2013? I think you recall that race. So Artemis was one of the teams that competed. So evidently that technology from that America's Cup moved into defense, which I think was really fascinating. It's something I didn't know. I got that little news on my text like 5 minutes before I went on the show, and I'm going, oh, I want to find out more about that. That's something I never thought about.
Well, it's all quite interesting, too. And then I think about, you know, it's going to be in Naples, right?
Right.
Okay, so off the coast of Naples, even though it's New Zealand versus Britain or England, I guess, at this point. Are the Italians, you would think they would have a go at maybe getting into it? And I thought also that when you won, you hosted it, like we saw in Australia. Didn't you go down there, or you almost went down there for COVID, right, during that?
That's true. I was actually scheduled to go. That was such a weird race. Because we were all in lockdown, right? And so during the COVID thing, I had to not only, I was invited by the America's Cup to come as accredited media, but I had to be approved in this emergency ruling through the government, which is this process that I went through. And I got approved, But the problem was that I also had to go in for quarantine for 2 weeks during COVID before the race, and they didn't have any spaces for quarantine. So I'm like looking in this, I said, will you let me quarantine on a boat? You know, and I'm going, no, it has to be a hotel. It has to be a designated one set up, and we only have so many of them. And so I wasn't actually able to find a place to quarantine. And so that's why I wasn't able to go. And that was, that's got to be the weirdest America's Cup that ever's happened.
So, but the Italians, they're not, everybody else is perfectly happy to just sit there and let these two go at it and not enter, huh?
Well, things are not done yet. Well, I don't know. Maybe it is only the two of them. It depends upon whether they're able to extend the rules on this, because the deadline was supposed to be October for 2025 for teams to come on board. And, you know, it's an interesting thing, because when you know, I'm watching these racers over the years for the America's Cup, and they all know each other. I mean, they may be racing and just competing to the death, not literally, but definitely they've got a lot riding on winning the race. But, you know, afterwards they do get together at the bar for a drink. They know each other. And I think that, you know, in order for the defender to and the challenger to really pull off being able to make an America's Cup happen, they really do have to collaborate with their mates and have some kind of consensus, because, you know, it takes, it would be, you know, it would be kind of like if football was dependent upon all the teams getting along in order to have a football league, right?
So this has to be...
How would that go, by the way?
It probably wouldn't go very well. But we just have about a minute here. This has to be the first America's Cup ever where we, as Americans, are not trying for it, right?
I think it probably is. You know, that is actually, to my knowledge, I think America has always participated. But I will say, this is the New York Yacht Club that was sponsoring it. Remember, we had the Stars and Stripes team we had two American teams that were basically contending for the America's Cup. So sometimes it just depends upon who is able to pull together that $75 or $100 million that it takes to really put on a team and make that work and make it viable. Because it's it's an investment, you know, that people are into. They're looking at, what are we going to get out of it? It's a business proposition, basically. And so it doesn't mean that there couldn't be another team that comes forward. There are certainly people out there who could pull it off. And I'm going to be very interested to see what happens from that, because I would like to see more teams come forward, and whether New Zealand can actually change the date and open it up so that other teams could enter and be able to come in. I think the problem is that you have to have enough time to design so that you can beat the other team. So the closer you get to, you know, these deadlines, then the more disadvantage you have, because you're getting a late start. So that's kind of where that's the issue there.
Check out SailSportTalk.com with Karen Lyle, our co-host. Karen, have a great time in London. By the way, if you're still there Sunday, the North London Derby, Spurs and the Scum, if you want to watch.
Thank you, Rick.
All right.
You are always my sports guy.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.